Okay, we're back in the same chapter as 2 weeks ago. One of the reasons why many of the old scientists and scientific thinkers of the previous generations, even though they weren't Christians necessarily, one of the reasons they believed in God was because of a slogan, there's no such thing as a free lunch. That was the slogan, meaning the earth is here, and therefore there must have been somebody to make it, to put it here, to create it. Do you follow that? It's quite simple, really, and that would be my argument to anybody who says that the Big Bang and evolution can explain anything. Anyway, back in this passage, we notice Jesus does not just want bucket loads of people, to half-hearted people, to put their hands up and half follow him. And the churches will be chock-a-block this morning in the UK with people who think they're following, who say they're following, but they're not following Jesus at all. And it's highly likely that there could be some sitting right here now. I remember a poll was at a few years ago in the UK suggesting that over 70% of people in Britain are Christians. Well, what in what sense are they Christians? I remember many years ago sitting with a bloke in hospital, and the nurse came and asked his name, address, religion, C of E, he said. And I looked at him, and he said, well, I suppose. Now, C of E, Church of England, is a description of a type of church organization. It's not a religion, is it? It's not a religion. It's like if you go around the doors and knock the doors, you will find people who say, well, I'm a Baptist. But it's a meaningless phrase, meaningless description. So a quick reminder of the gospel, right? Everybody is born with their back to God. We're all born facing away from God. We're not interested in God. We're his enemies. And we soon show it. Sin, S-I-N, the I in the middle, me, 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 me. But astonishingly, God loves us. He likes nothing we do. What could he like? But he loves us. He loves you and me. And so in the fullness of time, he sent his son. In the fullness of time, God became man, who suffered and died so that, what? So that all who receive him as Lord and Savior become children of God, born of God, brand new people whose priorities are turned upside down, just like the two children on Anne's chart there. They were one thing, now they're entirely different. Like the guy who finds treasure in the field and he goes and sells everything so he can buy the field because the treasure's there. Now, do you follow? Salvation is a gift. You've got to receive a gift. You can't buy a gift, you can't earn it. You've got to receive it. By grace, you have been saved. We just sung it. Grace is, we also sang wonderfully, grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. And this grace is amazing. You can't earn it by church attendance. Some of you think you can. You can't earn it by reading the Bible or praying. It's a gift. Free grace. Now, in the early 1940s in Germany, a Christian man called Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was later martyred, became concerned about the behavior of so-called Christians in Germany, because they said that they were followers of Christ, but they were sympathetic to Hitler and the Nazi party. And so Bonhoeffer came up with this phrase, if you say, he said to them, that you are following Jesus, what you've got is cheap grace. Cheap grace, not free grace, he said, because you've cheapened it, because you've cheapened Christ. You've cheapened the gospel, because it gave the impression that being a Christian was easy. No cost. I remember reading somewhere, entry fee to the Christian life, nothing. Annual subscription, everything, your whole life. Now, where does that leave you? Is the grace that you say you've got cheap, or is it free? The trading standards officers go into shops and things, and they root out all these big brand labels. They're actually counterfeits. They're not the real thing. They're fakes. Are you a fake Christian? A fake follower? You say you're following Jesus, but you're not actually? Or much worse than that, are you a fake follower? You actually have kidded yourself that you're following, and you're not? Today, on planet Earth, guaranteed, some genuine Christians will have their throats slit. Some will be set ablaze. Some will be banged up in prison or steel containers for years. And all because they know this grace is free and they've received it. And so they're willing to go through those horrendous tortures, imprisonments, because they know this grace is free and it shows in their life. Now, what about you? No, they used to, when I was a very young Christian, I remember somebody shouting out in one of my lessons once, God exists, well, I can't see him. Well, right, okay. I'm glad you said that, because, well, ozone layer, do you believe in that? Yes, he said. Can you see it? No. But do you believe it's there? What about gravity? Can you see it? No. What about electricity? Can you see it? No. But you see the effects? See the effect of God? Look in the mirror. Or look out the window. God is real. And these people who have been martyred today, they know he's real. And they know that this grace is free and he saved them. Now then, do you know the grace yourself, though? I heard a guy on the radio this week. He'd paid £600 last weekend in accommodation and tickets and transport to get to Man U to watch Man U play in Old Trafford. Of course, match was postponed. And he was on the radio saying, well, I expect Manchester United to reimburse me. Well, why? Well, he thinks they're obligated to reimburse him. But Almighty God is not obligated to give you anything, or me. Other than if you like one of those things, whenever I used to watch EastEnders years ago, it was always somebody saying, I only want what's mine. Well, if you want God to give you what you deserve, do you want that? You don't want that. I'm telling you, you don't want that. If we think, you know, if he thinks, man, you were obligated to pay you £600, if we think God is obligated to give us anything other than what we deserve, and what we deserve is condemnation, but there's grace and it's free. Salvation is a gift. Don't cheapen it by trying to earn it. Because if you do, you will get what trying deserves, and trying deserves condemnation, death and damnation. Don't cheapen it either by saying, oh, well, I know I'm hopeless, and I know I'm lost, and I know I'm a sinner, and I receive this grace freely, but then you carry on living as you did before, except you go to church and read your Bible. That's counterfeit Christianity. What have you got? If you've got counterfeit Christianity, it's because you've never actually seen what you are. You've never seen. You've never seen in this passage that even your own life in red there, you've got to hate your own life. Because if you don't hate your own life, why would you want to give it up? But when you come to that place where you see what you are, and you're sickened by what you are, and you hate what you are, you hate your own life, then you're ready to be saved. There are very few people who don't feel guilty. And if you ever meet anybody who never feels guilty, they're very dangerous people to be near. So most people feel guilty at some time or other, but most who feel guilty shrug it off. Why do they shrug it off? Because they flatter themselves, Psalm 36, to detect or hate their sin. They flatter themselves. So they don't hate their life then. They kid themselves that awful incident when they upset people, that awful incident was a little blip. When actually the Bible says, no, that's you. That is you. Oh, no, I don't know what came over me. No, well, what came over you was the real you showed. Everything else is camouflage. That's the real you. That's why I need saving. That's why you need saving. Have you seen what you are? And when you see what you are and you realize what Jesus is prepared to do for people like you and me, Jesus, you hear people sometimes say, Jesus, you would do this for me? And he says, yeah, I would. I'd do it for you. Why? I love you, he says. But you love me, Lord, but I'm so deceitful and desperately wicked. And Jesus says, yeah, I know. And I still love you. I can take away your sin. I can take away the love of sinning. Now, do you understand that? That's why Jesus says to all his disciples, they pick up their cross. They're willing to die if they have to. But also, the cross is not a place of trying harder. When a man was dragging the cross, down the Via Dolorosa outside Jerusalem, he wasn't going to have his life improved. It wasn't a pep talk at the end of it. His life was going to be ended. He wasn't going to come back a nicer bloke. He wasn't coming back. That was the end of him. And Christianity, this is the miracle of Christianity. The old you goes. You have to be born again. A new person. New birth. Anything less is cheap grace. Now, what have you got? What have you got now? See, it's not about trying to put a religious spurt on. Some of you try that? Oh, it's deadly, man. You try harder to be a Christian. It's about surrender. It's not about trying. It's about giving in and say, Lord, I can't. I can't be any better. Lord, this is me. It's about throwing yourself at his mercy and saying, wash me, Savior, or I die. It's desperation. Have you got to that stage? Psalm 38 I read this week. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Oh, I can still remember when I got there for the first time. Have you ever come there? If you've never come there, you're not saved. You've got to come there and say, oh, this is terrible. This is crushing me, man. I got it. Lord, take it away. You've got to come there. Now, you may come there many times after you're saved, but you've got to come there to be saved. Have you come that far? If you've come that far, then come a little further. Come to Christ. Come to God in Christ. See, if you try, I see so many churchy people over the years trying. Not only is it deadly dull and miserable, it's offensive to God, man. When he's offering you the gift, and you say, no thanks, I'm going to try my best, but trying your best is deadly. Is he calling you now to receive? That's all. How much effort is involved in that? To receive eternal life. Or are you still pushing the door on his hands, slamming the door on his fingers and saying, oh, I'm going to keep on trying, thanks, I'm going to take my chances. Come on now. Amen. Let's sing.